Thank you. so hope that you'll enjoy this journey with us and kind of help you along the way. I'm sure you've already seen in your book today that this purple color has an insert there for you. You're going to see a lot of these kinds of built-in inserts from this time of year. On one side, we have all 66 books of the Bible listed there for you, and we're not going to be picking them in order. So we're going to be jumping around to the Old Testament, the New Testament, and so in order to help you keep track of where we have been and where we still need to go, we're going to cross off each book of the Bible as we cover it. You can see today, the only one that's crossed off is the book of Romans. That's for today. On the other side, you will find a nice little concise summary of the book that we are covering that day. So you have some information here about the book of Romans. And then at the bottom of the page, we are going to be writing prayers that will kind of go along with the theme of the sermon that we preach that day. That's intended to help you in your own personal devotion time. You may be able to take a look at those prayers, maybe some call back to mind some of the sermon that you heard that day. And so we really do encourage you to collect them all throughout the year. We know that you may not be able to hear every single one of those 66 sermons in person, but what we're going to try to do is keep about a month's worth of these bulletin inserts available out in the Northwest, kind of keep them in rotation. They'll also be available over in the church office. So if you miss one, you can come and grab a sheet. Maybe you'll be able to collect every single one of them by the time we get to this point next week. So that's the plan. 66 texts. So, the reason why we wanted to start with such a significant book of the Bible right away on the very first day is because it goes along well with our theme for this day, which besides being the first Sunday in Advent, today, on November 30th, we also as a church have this opportunity to remember the life and ministry of St. Andrew. He's known as St. Andrew's Day. Makes a ton of sense that the church year begins with St. Andrew's Day because Andrew the first is considered to be the first disciple, the first one to be called by Jesus, the first to follow him. And in our gospel reading today, we heard a little bit more about how that went up from John chapter 1, telling us that Andrew, before he became a disciple of Jesus, was first a disciple of John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw Jesus walking by and points and says, "There he is! There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." From that point forward, Andrew starts following Jesus instead. Right away, what's the first thing that Andrew does? He goes and tells his brother, Simon Peter, about finding Jesus for himself. That's the first thing he does. He goes and tells the good news to somebody else. Now, it makes sense that from that point forward, you know, Peter becomes the leader of the disciples, and so his brother Andrew kind of fades into the background after that, but it doesn't take away from the fact that Andrew was first. If you consider the life and ministry of Andrew the Apostle, it goes along really well with what Paul is talking about. Specifically here in chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, I'm going to read these again. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach deliverance. So from the relatively little information we have about St. Andrew, we at least notice one thing based on the process. That Andrew must have had beautiful feet. And it's not because he kept them all nice and pedicured, but it was because he was one, the first one, who was willing His song. And whether it's actually true or not, every single person has to decide for themselves. I personally have some serious thoughts about it. I remember thinking this passage, and I still think it now, as I remember what the experience was like. That even if that skull, that piece of bone, and that piece of wood, even if they really are the real deal, the true beauty, true beauty in that church or any church is all witness and only in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is proclaimed week after week. There may be plenty of people who think that a part of the skull of St. Andrew's is beautiful sight to behold, but what has always mattered way more than St. Andrew's beautiful skull is St. Andrew's beautiful feet, which 2,000 years ago were on the walls, and we know that just in a couple of weeks it's going to be called beautiful poinsettias up here on the altar, and it's a wonderful sight every single year when we come in here on the first Sunday of Advent, we see this. And it's now my 10th Advent in loyalty. And I can tell you, it never gets old. But if we take a moment to reflect on what St. Paul calls beautiful, here in the book of Romans, I think we would all have to say that the most beautiful thing that we have seen in this church today is not a tree or a wreath. That's exactly what has happened at that moment. Until my it's the fact that the good news has been delivered to her through the water and the word of Holy Baptism. And that's a reminder that that same promise, that same good news has been delivered to all of you as well. That God has made an amazing promise of salvation to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how many times we get to see something like that, 10 times, 10,000 times, it never, ever gets old. So we get closer to Christmas here. Tomorrow's already. Encouragement to all of you to try to not be so distracted of the shiny things as well. And I know that's easier said than done sometimes, but to try not to put all your attention on the shop and the presents and the general busyness of the season, but to remember that the most beautiful things are not the things that are covered in poly and pencil and silver and gold. In the gospel, in the artwork of his hands, in his birth, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and yes, in the beautiful feet of those who proclaim that gospel to him. So, there it is, one down, 65 to go. But may God bless us as we take this journey into his word together. His most precious name. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
And welcome to Trinity Hoyleton. Our church and school have been sharing the grace of God and the message of forgiveness in Jesus for over 150 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Because of our generous giving in the past, our tuition has been kept affordable for everyone, both members and non-members.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
God has richly blessed our ministry for generations in the past, and we want it to continue to bless many generations in the future. Please consider including Trinity in your year-end giving to help us reduce our current bank loan balance. We want to pay off as much as we can by the end of the year. Any donation is welcome and appreciated.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for providing me with a Christian education.
May God bless you!
Thank you!
Thank you for joining us today.
We hope you can come and join us again next week.